I spoke on the importance of having a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit. Mentioned the fact that in order to produce fruit, it is necessary to have that intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I talk more about the how. How are we to have a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit? And the scripture emphasizes primarily prayer in developing a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit. Key verse tonight is Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The theme tonight is we're to have a confident expectation that God will grant us our prayers for a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit. So why should we have a confident expectation that God will grant us our prayers for a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit? First, Jesus presents a parable which emphasizes that God is approachable, gracious, generous, and ready to hear our requests. Jesus is like a friend to us, Luke 11:5. He said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Excuse me. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus' application of the parable is to encourage us to be persistent in our prayers. First, we are encouraged to pray. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. We are encouraged to pray because God is willing to answer our prayers. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Unlike the friend who speaks through the door from the hallway, God is willing to open the door to us because of our prayers. If we are persistent in asking a friend for help, how much more should we be persistent in asking God? But the thought here is that unlike the friend, God is willing and ready to help us. Number two, we have confidence in prayer because our relationship to God is better than a relationship of a friend to a friend. Our relationship is that of a son to a father. I'm just continuing on with the passage. Notice we're picking up at verse 11. First, the axiom that is now presented is based on a father-son relationship. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? An earthly father will not give bad gifts to his children. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? God, the Heavenly Father, contrasts with an earthly father who gives good gifts to his children. God knows what are the good gifts to give his children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there the idea is that we are evil and we make wrong decisions. Sometimes we regret the decisions we make, and among them we might regret the way that we respond to a child who asks us for something. God, the Heavenly Father, only gives good gifts to his children, and there is no better gift to give than the Holy Spirit. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The good gift that the Father delights to give is the Holy Spirit. To have a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit is a most appropriate gift to ask for. So, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because we are his children, because he is good and not evil, because the request is a good request, that is to receive the Holy Spirit. Illustration of asking for an inappropriate gift. Well, it's Christmas time, and children are making out their Christmas lists. How many people have made out a Christmas list? All right, you're ready, okay. Now, it'll be interesting to look over some of those lists, okay. I don't want to get in trouble tonight, but how many asked for a horse? Anybody asked for a horse? No horses out there? No horses? How about a shotgun? Anybody ask for a shotgun? Well, if you're five, that's probably not a great thing to ask for, okay? You probably don't want to ask for a shotgun. And even though you've got wonderful parents, and in fact, because you have wonderful parents, they're not going to give you a shotgun when you're 5 years old. That's not a very appropriate gift. Nor are you going to get a motorcycle. Ferraris, forget it, okay? But there are a lot of things that you could ask for, and they are most delighted that that's what you asked for. I remember when I was in seminary, I was at the Reading Bible Fellowship Church. And I was graduating seminary at the time, and the church decided they were going to give me a gift in association with my graduation from seminary, and they had a nice night for us at a party. And so one of the things they did was they went to my wife and said, what do you think your husband would like to receive? And she said, I'm sure it would be a book. And they said, well, what book? And she said, well, he always has a CBD catalog laying around and with a wish list and stuff, and he circles things. And he said, I don't know what you want to spend, so I will give you the catalog and you can pick something. They were so happy that that's what I asked, that that's what was asked, as opposed to a stereo or something else. They were so pleased that they bought everything that was circled, which was a huge start on my library. Only wished I would have circled more. No. It was very, very generous of them. The point was, they were happy with the request. They thought that would be useful, beneficial, and they were pleased to spend the money in that way. So too, God is pleased when we ask for a more intimate and personal relationship to Holy Spirit. There is no more appropriate request that we could offer. It delights the Father. Which brings us to number three. When our heart's desires are right, we can be assured that God will fulfill those desires. Psalm 37, verse 1, a Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. A, it is important that we desire the right things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When we desire that which is good, we can expect God to meet that desire. They shall be satisfied. In Psalm 37, verse 4, "And he will give you the desires of your heart," is predicated on the first phrase of that verse, namely, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That's one of those very abused verses in which people say, well, just pray and God will give you anything you desire. He gives you the desires of your heart. Yes, when your desires are to delight in him. See, when we desire what is inappropriate, we cannot expect that desire to be met. James 4:2. "You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot not obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." So these are all the inappropriate ways that people look to get their desires fulfilled. Quarreling, fighting, committing murder, all of them, of course, inappropriate. What we should do is ask. But, verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." D, we can expect to receive a more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit because it is a good desire in most instances. I say that because one can desire a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit for the wrong reasons. And so we have this example in Acts chapter 8, verse 17, concerning Simon. "Then they," that is the apostles, "began laying their hands on them," that's others who had come to faith, "and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I may lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no portion or part in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity.'" Simon, if you remember, was a sorcerer. Simon was one who had deceived the people. He liked having power. He liked having authority. And so when he saw that the apostles were able to grant this great gift, he wanted to have that same power in order to manipulate people and to demonstrate his greatness over them. He wanted it for the wrong reasons. And of course, that wasn't going to be granted. So even our desire for more intimate relationship to the Holy Spirit, we must be careful regarding our desires. Why do we want to have a more intimate and personal relationship to the Holy Spirit? If the motivation is wrong, the prayer is not going to be answered. If the motivation is right, the prayer will be answered. It's kind of like when the scripture says that he who desires the office of an elder desires a good thing. If you're desired for the right reason. If it's to be a servant. If it's to be used of God. If it's to be an instrument of his grace in the lives of others. If it's to be a power trip. If it's about trying to get a sense of superiority, then of course it's desired for the wrong reason. So tonight, God delights in bringing us into a more intimate, closer relationship to the Holy Spirit. What is required on our part is simply to desire that relationship. And the way in which that desire is to be manifested is to pray and ask God to bring us into a more intimate and personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time that I speak, I'm going to look at then what does that look like? What can we expect God to do? But tonight, the emphasis is we pray. I close with a prayer from the Valley of the Vision, a Puritan prayer. It was in your handout last week, but I didn't get to it. So if you put last week where I went over and this week where I'm going to end ahead of time, it balances out, okay? So here is the prayer that is offered. O Lord, help me never to expect any happiness from the world, but only in Thee. Here's about the right desires. Let me not think that I shall be more happy by living to myself, for I can only be happy if employed for Thee, and if I desire to live in this world, only to do and suffer what Thou dost allot me. Teach me, I love this line, teach me that if I do not live a life that satisfies Thee, I shall not live a life that will satisfy myself. What? That's really profound. But it's really true. If we don't live a life that satisfies God, we won't live a life that satisfies ourselves. Help me to desire the spirit and temper of angels who willingly came down to this lower world to perform thy will. Though their desires are heavenly and not set in the least upon earthly things, then I shall be of that temper I ought to have. Help me not to think of living to thee in my own strength, but always to look to and rely on thee for assistance. Teach me that there is no greater truth than this, that I can do nothing of myself. Lord, this is the life that no unconverted man can live, yet it is an end that every godly soul presses after. Let it be my concern to devote myself and all to thee. Make me more fruitful and more spiritual, for barrenness is my daily affliction and load. How precious is time, and how painful to see it fly with little done to good purpose. I need thy help. Oh, may my soul sensibly depend upon thee for all satisfaction and every accomplishment of thy purposes for me, for the world, and for thy kingdom. Amen. Thank you.